welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our Bible study series examines a specific part of God's Word of Truth. We pray that through this study, your faith will be built up and you will grow in your knowledge and understanding of God's Word through what you hear.
Thanks for joining us again here at Burden and Blessing. We are continuing part two of our series on Paul's letter to the Colossians. We're picking it up in chapter two. We are considering the fullness of God that is revealed in the person of Jesus. While we cannot see God, we can see in a physical way Jesus, who is God, and we can see the works which he accomplished, demonstrating that he is God. We have been talking about this nature of Jesus as true God, and we're picking it up in chapter 2, verses 20 to 23, where we can see the work that Jesus has accomplished through the cross. What do you think there, Ben?
Yeah, that verse 20, just read that verse. It's amazing, too, because not only was Jesus God and the creator and the firstborn from the dead, but he did tremendous things too, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So that gets into the idea of the atonement, you know, that we have been saved through the blood of Jesus to reconcile all things to himself by him. You know, that's kind of crazy to kind of follow that in the English, but I think that's what it's saying is Jesus reconciled all things to himself. How? By him, by what he did, by, you know, his life and his death. And that's just, you know, not only is Jesus God and not only is he creator, but he is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. And this is only the first chapter. You know, we get a ton more stuff talking about Jesus later in the book, too. But just kind of what Jesus, who Jesus is and what he does is so fully painted out for us here that it's hard. Like I said, Paul overwhelms you with the truth of who and what Jesus is in this book. And it's just awesome to see.
Yeah. If we took this verse by verse, we'd be here for a year.
Yeah.
Every one of these verses is just chock full of doctrine. This is not for the easy of heart. I mean, this is dig your heels in and take a look at this, because you're going to be in for a ride when you start the book of Colossians. Yeah. Let's jump ahead a little bit. We can't cover everything, but sure. Let's jump ahead to chapter 2. One of the things I'd like to cover in chapter 2, and there's a lot here. We've talked about the nature and the person of Jesus, which is going to come back up again in chapter 2 again. But I'd like to look at verses 8, 9, and 10 there. And there's a whole lot more. But some of the warnings that Paul gives, the idea of look out for the dangers that are surrounding you. And we talked about the Judaizers, Paul's concern for the believers there in Colossae and the other congregations that surrounded it, but reminding us that these same dangers are around us today. So this isn't just a warning that Paul gives to the believers 2,000 years ago. This is a warning that we need to take to heart today. You want to take a look at those verses and just open those up for us?
Yeah, like you said, a very apt warning for us here today. This is what those verses say. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. So kind of some of the things we're touching on in chapter 1 gets repeated here. Jesus has all power, all principality. We are in him. He is, you know, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But then that warning that you brought up, Nathaniel, is so relevant for us here today. What does he warn them about being led astray by? By philosophy, by empty deceit, by traditions of men, by, I like this term, the basic principles of the world. That is so apt today. You know, just what leads Christians astray today? It's not necessarily that they're going to be led astray by, you know, say, some far-flung different religion, like, say, Buddhism. That could certainly happen, of course. I'm not saying that couldn't happen. But I think what leads a lot of people astray from, you know, from our churches and from the Word of God is just, you know, the ways of the world, you know, learning like philosophy in college or something like that that has no truth in it, but, you know, people all nod and say, yep, that's true. Or like, say, evolution. Talk about, you know, basic principles of the world. That's a basic principle of the world today, that God didn't create the world. It came about in millions and millions of years, and thus there is no repercussions to our actions. We can do whatever we want. You know, all of these things are so frequently peddled throughout our day and age that it is easy to start to, you know, think, yeah, that's right. You know, oh, everyone's saying that this is correct and that this teaching is fine, so it has to be true. No, it's not. Look at the Bible. Look at what, you know, God wrote down. Thy word is truth, you know. And here it's just – Paul is just saying, hey, don't be cheated out of this beautiful truth. Instead, look to Jesus. Look to Christ. He is all principality. He is power. He is the one you need to be rooted in. And everything else is just nonsense.
One of my favorite parts of that verse – his in the did you use New King James?
Yeah, I think so.
So he uses the word cheat you.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the other translations have, you know, take you captive or rob you. But the idea is, you know, somebody is coming in order to take advantage of you, to offer you something that is of no value, and they know it, but mm-hmm. you don't.
Yeah.
It's taking advantage of someone else. And then you have, like you pointed out, those three things: philosophy, empty deceit or deception, traditions of men. Those things are empty. They offer mm-hmm. nothing. And then he says, instead of, or rather than, Christ. That offers us something. It is free. It is without charge. What a contrast between those two things. And so jumping ahead a few more verses, we wanted to talk a little bit about verses 16 and following. Some specific examples of these traditions of men, the deceitfulness of the world and the Judaizers and what they're bringing in. You want to touch on those verses?
Yeah, sure. So let's just read 16 and 17 to start. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. So I think it's kind of an interesting line here, because what Paul is trying to toe between, and kind of how I'm reconciling it in my head, because he's fighting these Judaizers who are trying to bring in extra nonsense, you know, to the Christian religion, but it's based on old things, you know. And here today, people are being led astray, you know, maybe saying, oh yeah, Christianity's fine, but I mean, I'm not going to live my life by it or anything. I think it's a great message of love, but it's not going to do anything for me. So I'm going to live my life, you know, freely. I'm going to love who I want to love, you know, stuff like that. But so there's this tugging between the old things and kind of like the new things, but both are dangerous now, because Christ has done away with the old things, the ceremonial laws, and the new things, we shouldn't even be paying any attention to them. So when he says here, don't be judged in a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, you know, I think that's something that's kind of hard for us Christians today to fully explain, you know, to a satisfactory degree in our minds, at least, is, well, how come you don't do those things anymore? Like, look at all those laws in, you know, the books of Moses. How come you don't do that? How come if someone blasphemes today, you don't stone them to death, you know, or something like that? But the point is, all of those things were the shadow. We know what shadows are. They're, you know, being cast, images cast off of us by the light. But what is the image? What casts that shadow? It's Christ. The substance is of Christ. And that is just, you know, we need that substance today now more than ever. We need to be bound in the doctrine of Christ.
In the next verse, it talks again, you have that idea of cheating that mm-hmm. we had earlier on, but in the next verse it talks about, you know, let no one defraud you. You know, again, that same concept of these people that are coming in. And what is it that we are being cheated out of? What is it that we are being defrauded of by a false teaching? Can you answer that?
Well, I guess in just one word, truth, right? Because, I mean, you don't add or subtract from the Bible. The Bible is the Bible. And that's what we want to do today, because we want to be like, oh yeah, I love the Bible, I love God's word, to a point, you know, up to an extent. It doesn't apply in this point in my life, but the other points, yeah, grace, that's awesome, yeah, God love me, I can buy that. But when it says that I can't do what I want to do, which are the desires of the flesh, then I kind of put it aside, you know. And that is the danger, is you have to listen to the whole word of Christ. Don't be deceived. Don't be cheated out of it. Because if you're going to kind of listen to these kind of things, if you're going to try to push them together, be like, I like Jesus and the Bible, but I also like these ideas of men. They don't square away with each other. You know, kind of like, I like the doctrines of Christianity, but I also like the doctrines of Judaism. No, they don't go together, you know? So you have to hold fast to Jesus, to the head, because we're supposed to be knit together. You know, that's what he talks about there, knit together by joints and ligaments, that grows with the increase that is from God, and that's what Jesus gives us.
So in the next chapter, you move on to the result. Once you know the truth, then something else takes place, and that's the new life that the Spirit works in you. But that has to be grounded on the true knowledge. Like you said, what are we robbed of? We're robbed of the truth. Once we have the truth, then something else can take place. It's like a plant. If you have a plant, you have to water it in order for it to grow and to bear fruit. And so Paul goes on there to talk about the fruit that the Christian life bears as a result of being watered by the truth of God's word. And you got a lot of really cool examples in chapter 3 in particular, where he talks about the transformation that takes place in the Christian's life. And at the end of that chapter, chapter 3, you have – it kind of reminds me of Paul's very unfamiliar part of the catechism. Mm-hmm. And that's that part of the catechism that talks about what the Christian life is like, the table of duties. And most people skip over that part of the catechism. But it's just a bunch of quotations. In fact, most of them, or many of them, come right here from this section in Colossians. This is what a husband's responsibility is. This is what a wife's responsibility is. This is what a child's responsibility is. This is what an employer's responsibility is. This is what an employee's responsibility is. All of these different relational aspects of our life. And Paul says, this is what a Christian does. He or she lives out their Christian life in a way that follows and uses Christ as the example, so that they use their gifts and their abilities to the benefit of those who are around them. So some pretty cool aspects of knowing who Christ is then affects our relationships with one another, which is a pretty neat concept overall.
Well, yeah, that's the whole sanctification part of the Christian life too. And all those things that Paul tells us to do there, you know, we don't do them very well. We don't. He tells wives to submit to their husbands. Husbands, love their wives. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, don't provoke your children. I think all of us, if we're found in any one of those relationships, which we all have been in some way, shape, or form, we haven't lived up to it. But because Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, did pay for our sins on the cross, because of that, we can be these things. We can be these submissive wives, these loving husbands, these obeying children, these fathers who don't provoke our children to wrath. You know, we can be all those things because Christ is all in all. And it's just beautiful that Jesus did all this stuff for us, and now we can, you know, reflect his love for us throughout our lives. And before that, we could not. We can't do good works. People who are dead in trespasses and sins can't do anything at all. But we have been made alive through Christ.
The last part of the letter lists a lot of greetings. You mentioned that earlier on in our discussion. Many of the people that Paul knew, had worked with, he sends greetings. He keeps them in his thoughts and in his prayers. So there's a beautiful aspect there of the fellowship that we share. And that is a wonderful thing that's often lost sight of in our world too, the importance of that being knit together, like you talked about in chapter 2. That's something that Christ has done in us, but he also blesses that knitting together for the good of the group as a whole, and in connection with outreach, mission work. There's a couple of passages throughout the letter of Colossians that talks about the work that we do collectively to witness to the world of that hope that is in us. Like Peter says, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, that you may know how you should respond to each one. You know, what a beautiful example of mission work, corporate mission work, but also individual mission work, once again as a result of the knowledge of what Christ has done for us.
Right. I think one of the aspects of Paul, too, that's just awesome is look at these all these enduring terms he gives to these people and these pleading words, but he never, you know, he didn't know them, you know? And I think that's something that we can hold up as an example to us today. Like, there's a lot of Christians that we do not know. There's a lot of people even in our synod who we don't know who are, you know, in foreign countries. But we need to remember to pray for them. You know, we need to, and that's a big theme throughout that last chapter, is prayer. You know, be persistent in prayer, continue earnestly in prayer, be thankful, be alert, praise God, pray for us. You know, that, and Paul is in prison, he's praying for them, and you know, we need to keep our fellow Christians in mind too, because those tempting and cheating philosophies, those basic principles of the world, they affect all of us, you know, and we need to pray for our fellow Christians, no matter who they are, no matter where they may be, whether we know them or not, pray for them, and, you know, and pray to the Lord to protect us as well.
Any final thoughts on the letter as a whole, Ben?
Well, I think kind of like, when I think of Colossians, it really just goes to show you who Jesus is to, you know, the nth degree. It's so full of who and what Jesus is and really what he does for us and now our relationship to him and what that is. It's just, you know, being a Christian is a very special relationship, and it's special because not of the Christian, but because of the Christ. And because Jesus is all of these things, because he has done all this stuff for us, you know, we can be like Paul. We can suffer, and we can do it with joy because we know that we're serving the Lord. We can, you know, face temptation and defeat it with the Lord's help. Jesus is how we were reconciled from death. He brought us to God. He paid for our sins. He wiped out the punishment for our sins on the cross. He is everything. And I think that Paul makes that very clear in this letter. What about you? Do you have any final thoughts?
Well, it's like a crash course in Christian doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we often think about that like with Paul's letter to the Romans, but that's 16 chapters long.
Yeah.
This is four chapters. It's a quarter of the length of – well, it's actually less than that of Paul's letter to the Romans. Mm-hmm. But it hits all of those highlights over and over again. It's probably one of – I keep saying that. It's one of my favorite books. I've got a lot of favorite books.
You do, yeah.
But I always encourage our listeners to sit down. Take half an hour and read through this book. Four chapters long. It is packed full, but it covers all of those reminders that we need still today, the warnings, but also the encouragement, pointing us to the ultimate Savior, the all-sufficient Christ. And so well worth your time and your study.
Yeah, we have a great Savior, don't we?
We do. Well, thanks for taking us through this, Ben. Always a joy to study the Word with you and to share it with our listeners. We pray that the Lord would, again, as he promises us, continue to encourage and nurture you through the knowledge and the growth of the knowledge of the Savior through your study of his Word. And we're glad that you're willing to do that with us. We pray that the Lord would bless that study and that hearing of his Word as he has promised. We'll see you next time.
We hope that you will join us again next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast as we continue to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Until next time, take confidence in your Savior's promise that he will always be with you, even to the end of the world.